Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I am super excited once again for my guest today. I have Miss Courtney Timmons, and her husband build shipping container communities in the Atlanta area. So really exciting topic, a lot of new trends going on in that space. So really excited to hear from her. So Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for joining me. So let's jump right into it. How did you become interested in real estate?
So real estate was always something that I wanted to get into, but it was very intimidating at first because I'm not very handy, and I hear the horror stories of people getting into renos and then listening to other people's advice, and then their projects get out of control and out of hand, and they end up losing a bunch of money. And so I was like, as much as I would love to have that as a stream of income, there's no possible way I could get into it. However, my husband is extremely handy. And when I met him, he was also wanting to get into real estate. And he talked about it for probably the first 2 years or year and a half we were together. And eventually I was just like, you know what, either do it or be quiet about it, because you keep talking about it and you're not pulling the trigger. I'll handle. So he is really handy. He could do all the building. And then I'm very business oriented. So my background is in business and strategy, go to market, getting a concept all the way to market to completion. And so I was like, I'll do all the business stuff. I'll figure out financing, all that stuff. I'll do all the design work, because it's my area to be creative, and you just do the building and you worry about that. And so we kind of tag team, and that's how we got started. We ended up buying our first two plots of land in February of 2018. Prior to that, we did a slew of renovation work, but we knew that we wanted to get into new construction. So that's kind of how it got started. It was kind of like a meeting of the minds between him and I.
Got it. So what are some things that you had to like kind of figure out when you were like, all right, let's build with shipping containers? What are some of the things that you have to kind of know in advance that are different from doing a regular home build?
Yeah, so shipping container build, it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know. You can't always assume that it's the same as building a traditional house. And so it took us a while to do some research and digging to find people that have done it before that could advise us. And so I would say the first couple steps were going online and researching people who've done it before, getting in contact with them and having those initial conversations to understand kind of how difficult really is it? Is it really cost effective the way that, you know, people say that it is? And then reaching out to, so when we bought our first two plots of land, we bought them in Fulton County, the city of Atlanta. And so it's reaching out to the local government, when I say government, like the zoning and the coding of the city or the county that you're in, to make sure that codes even exist for shipping containers. In our experience, some cities are open to it. Some cities have things in place, some cities don't, and some cities just are not open to it at all. I remember we reached out to, we had a client that wanted to build in LJ, and we reached out to them on their behalf to just, before we even started the building or designing process, just to make sure that we could do it. And the city of LJ was like, no, we have no interest in writing codes. We have no interest in shipping containers in our area. So that could save you obviously a lot of time and money on planning and developing if you find out that your city or town has no interest in shipping containers whatsoever. So that's where I would say start. We started was just working with our local city and county, and then also researching people across the nation who've done it before, who were willing to speak with us about the challenges, as well as the benefits and kind of lessons learned.
Okay, so when we spoke before, you told me that like Atlanta, they had some kind of coal as opposed to shipping container, but then you all had to help them kind of fine tune that coal, like kind of develop it.
Yeah. So when we reached out to the city of Atlanta, they had commercial. So people could use shipping containers to build coffee shops and, you know, anything commercial build, but they didn't have anything residential. So through the code or legally, you couldn't construct something using shipping containers for residential build. So we ended up having to work with the city to be able to write the codes to be able to use it for residential build. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. It took us about a year and a half to actually get from the start to finish. Mm-hmm. We reached out to other cities in other states who had the codes to see kind of what their experiences were, what their codes looked like. The city, we lobbied with the city or to the city. So we were difference of opinions in some areas we lost, some areas we won. So for instance, one of those areas is, even though we can now use shipping containers in the city of Atlanta for residential build, we have to zone under light commercial, mm-hmm. which requires full MEPs whereas traditional residential build doesn't require that. So obviously that impacts the cost because it's extra engineering work, right? The state of Georgia says that you can use shipping containers up to 5 years old. The city of Atlanta determined that you have to use brand new shipping containers that can only have been shipped once. So there's certain things like that that jack up your cost as a developer within the city of Atlanta that makes something that's supposed to be affordable housing not affordable. So there's certain things that we lobbied against the city on, but ultimately the city has final say. And then there's some areas where we won. So the fact that we can use shipping containers in the city of Atlanta for housing at all is a win for us. So
okay, there's a couple things that you said there. I want to ask you a question about what are some other, I guess, like major cities or cities that people would know that already have some type of zoning in place for shipping containers?
Yeah, so in terms of Georgia, it's really on the cusp. We've had a couple cities reach out or counties reach out to us interested. So Dahlonega, Richmond County reached out to us. So that's around like, your Macon and Augusta areas, those cities have reached out to us wanting to develop codes for shipping containers. And then when we reached out, so we reached out to Seattle, out to that way, California, a couple cities in California. Obviously, they're very progressive. Indiana, as a state, has codes for shipping containers. We reached out to them. We tried to hit cities in various climates.
Right.
So for instance, one of the things that went into the one year rule for your shipping container. So we learned through working with cities throughout California that if you use a shipping container that is an older shipping container, more towards the end of its life, you can probably get it for about $2,500, super cost effective. But the risk that you run is really high in terms of damage to the container when you are in transport, as well as the number of hazardous chemicals that have been shipped in that shipping container and the risk of, you know, them being spilled or the heat from the sun in California actually heated up a shipping container, and the fumes that have been absorbed into the shipping container paint were emitted due to the heat. And actually two guys that were outfitting a shipping container for living actually died. Wow. And so that kind of went into the deciding factor of, no, if you're going to use a shipping container for living, in order to cut that risk down, it has to be a brand new container. That way we can track it all the way back to the manufacturer to know what was shipped in there, how many times it was shipped, was there hazardous materials in there? So we can actually call the manufacturer and make sure that we're using the safest shipping containers possible.
Okay, so where do you purchase a brand new shipping container, and where can you purchase a used one?
Yeah, so we actually, us personally, we go through a broker who has a bunch of manufacturers on you know, within their Rolodex to where they can call and kind of get us the best price. Our shipping containers typically come out of Savannah, just because that's closest or nearest to us. So usually the port cities are the best places to connect with a broker that can help get the best deals on shipping containers.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Okay. So now let's talk about the actual like homes that you're building. So you're also building like communities. You're not just doing one off. So tell me about the process of kind of like subdividing land. How big are the houses that you're building, and like kind of what's your whole process when it's coming to actually starting to do the construction?
Yeah. So, so this is another thing I would typically advise people to do. So some cities and counties have minimal square footage that you can do. So for instance, Douglas County, it's a county or a city outside of downtown Atlanta. And they have a minimum of 1800 square feet that you can build. So that's something that I would check on. So for Douglas County, it's 1800. Our first shipping container house that we sold in downtown Atlanta last year was a little over 2200 square feet.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it was. The next one we're doing that's we're in permitting for now will be 3,057 square feet. So a bit larger. I don't think that we don't have plans on getting smaller than I would say 1,600 square feet in downtown Atlanta area. We have on that street, in terms of dividing land, thankfully, the plots of land that we were able to purchase have already been divided out. So we're really building or constructing houses that that kind of fit on those lots. We see a high demand for a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath in Atlanta. So nothing extremely big. Our next house is a bit bigger, so it'll be 4 bedrooms. But we plan for majority of our houses to stay on the 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, around 2000 square feet size. Looking for, and I think really building towards our target, you know, starter homes are in dire need here in the Atlanta area, especially for young people, young couples. We have a big tech firms moving out here all the time. So Microsoft is moving out here. Amazon's having a bigger footprint. And so we're looking for people who are early in their career development, starting out, looking for that first home.
Okay. Now let's talk about like the financing of it. For one, like how do you all finance the bill? And then on the back end, when an end user comes in, are they able to do like the regular FHA or conventional mortgages to buy these houses, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we actually, so for financing on our side, we work with a local bank. Typically, when you're looking to build something as unique as a shipping container home, your larger banks, such as like your Wells Fargo or SunTrust or Truist or BB&T, those banks don't typically take the risk because they don't have to. So if you're doing something untraditional, we typically look for small local community banks who are willing to take the risk. So we have one that we work with. They only do construction loans with developers. So it's been a really good situation for us. So I would start local. And then in terms of people that are getting mortgages out, so we have two things that help with people looking to purchase our homes, actually three. So our realty group is amazing. They help do a lot of the legwork to reach out to banks and find out which banks are willing to loan to people buying a shipping container house. And surprisingly, more and more banks are willing to do it. They're not necessarily willing to take on the risk of the construction, but once it's up and they look at it and it's appraised, they are feel more comfortable. So we have a handful of banks that we work with in the Atlanta area, smaller ones. And then we have a mortgage broker that has helped establish relationships. And we also have an insurance broker because sometimes finding an insurer that's willing to insure homes like that is difficult. So we work with two brokers that will go out on behalf of our customers or people interested and find them the right situation for their financial, where they are financially at the time.
Got it. So on the end user side, are you seeing that the interest rates are higher, and then on insurance, is that higher or lower than a regular house?
So interest rates in terms of the mortgage, no. Insurance, on the other hand, can tend to be a little bit higher. Okay. And that was off of the one that we sold last year. But as it becomes more popular, we're hoping that the banks that we work with, we become more credible and establish that relationship to try to get those down. Mm-hmm. But I will say, even though our customers are might spend a little bit more in insurance, they are spending less in regards to day-to-day expenses, such as energy efficiency, utilities, and that sort of thing. So we're trying to balance it out.
that makes a lot of sense. I think that's another draw for people because like they save on utility costs for sure.
Yeah.
And so how much is it for you to build right now, like just one of your typical 3-bedroom, 2.5-bedroom house in Atlanta area?
Yeah. So prior to, and just to do a comparison for you, prior to the hike in material costs that we're experiencing right now, the average residential build would cost about $114 a square foot to build a residential. We're at about $90 a square foot. For shipping containers. So we're doing relatively well, and I believe we're doing even better in comparison. So we do traditional build and shipping container build as well. So we're in the process of building two traditional stick build homes right now. And so it'll be interesting now with the hike in material costs and wood costs to see what that margin is like now, because we're getting shipping containers for relatively the same amount we always have, but our expense on building a stick build house has increased drastically since material costs. So although we were building for about $114 a square foot for traditional build, I'll be interested to kind of see where we end up landing with these two homes that we're doing now in comparison to where we land with the next shipping container house.
Okay, so if somebody's out here listening to this podcast one day and they're like, oh, I want to do that as well, like what's some advice that you would give to somebody that's never done one before and they want to get started?
Yeah, it just depends on what side of you're coming from. If you're coming from a developer standpoint and you have your GC and you're looking to do something new construction or a shipping container addition or just anything like that, I would say work with an architect that who's done it before. So we worked with an architect who he had designed one, but he never actually built one. And so we ended up spending a lot of additional money and learning expense because something looks like right on paper doesn't mean that it translates to actual build. So the architect that we work with now is certified in shipping container build. He's actually designed it and he's built. So he knew from start to finish what the pitfalls were, where paper doesn't necessarily translate to real life. And he was able to work with us there. So find someone definitely who's done it before to kind of mentor you through the process. Like I said earlier, make sure your city or the county that you're in is zoned and has the codes necessary to do it and are open to doing it. And then I would also make sure from a financial standpoint, you have funding and insurance that's willing to cover it. So I would say those are the things starting out that I would make sure to do before anything else.
Okay. Now, personal, kind of personal question for you. How is it like being a husband and wife team doing these
things? It's challenging. It's definitely challenging. We bump heads, but I think through it though, we have learned our lanes, right? Like, design is my lane. He doesn't come into my lane. and then I don't go in trying to tell him how to do something, how to build something. That's not my lane. And then there's under times where we just have to be understanding. So when it comes to submitting for things like permitting and I need specs and stuff like that, he's very understanding when he hates paperwork. So when I say, I need you to sit down this weekend and do this paperwork, he understands that there's a need for it. We both have an end goal. So it's been challenging, but we found our lanes and we stick to them as best as possible. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting. It's been an interesting dynamic to the relationship, but we're doing well right now.
Right now.
I mean, we're in more projects now than we've ever been in before. So that's why I say right now. We're permitting in 3 new construction houses and we're planning for 5 more. We are doing 3 renovations and just acquired 2.5 more acres of land for our second shipping house container community. So we're at the height of what we're doing more now than we've ever done before. So it'll be interesting how we maneuver through this.
Okay. Forward and upward. That brings it to the next question. Like, what's you all's plans? I guess you just told me a little bit, but what's your plans moving forward for the rest of this year and, you know, aspirations for the future?
Yeah. So plans moving forward. So the rest of this year, we have, like I said, the new 3 new construction we're working on. And then hopefully by the beginning of next year, we will have plans drawn up for the 5 other houses going up in the first community. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, we just acquired 2.5 acres. So we'll be zoning those out and creating lots so that we can start that second community probably towards the end of 2022, beginning of 2023. Mm-hmm. In terms of aspirations for the future, I think we just want to continue to build communities. We want to continue to make shipping containers more accessible. Accessible and cost effective, right? So as we do more, we want to lower our build costs. And we also are right now with the 3 houses that we have that we're putting up, we are testing different sustainability methods. So we're looking, we're talking to a couple of solar companies to partner with. Mm-hmm. So that all of our homes can come with solar. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, we're testing different water conservation methods just so that our houses come extremely sustainable and we can cut down on the day-to-day expenses of those people who purchase our homes. So sustainability is a big objective for ours, as well as philanthropic. So we have a program called Second First Impressions, mm-hmm. Where we partner with a local organization called Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency. And it's for people who are at risk for homelessness, to be homeless. And so for whatever reason, it could be anything from drug rehabilitation to just they lost their job and are trying to find a different way. And so they work with people on resume and interviewing. And so we, if the person is interested in trade work, we actually take them on. They work with our subcontractors and kind of shadow them and work with them on our projects to learn that trade, whether it be painting, flooring, tile work, plumbing. And then if they're good, they do a good job, our subcontractors will bring them on full time. We pay them just like we pay our subcontractors to learn the trade. And if it's something they're interested in and need to go to school, we'll help refer them to a couple different programs. So we do that in conjunction with working with a group for kids that's called Active Youth Academy. And we work with them on entrepreneurship and sustainability. We do that. We fund one of their entrepreneurship programs. So that's been exciting too. So we've done a couple different things. We want to become more philanthropic, more community focused. One thing I never wanted to do is become developers who go into a community, completely change the fabric of that community and then leave. So we try to invest in the communities that we're building in. So these are a couple ways that we're trying to give back and hope we can do it on a larger scale now that we are picking up more projects.
That's awesome. Like, I knew about your shipping container empire that you're building, but all those philanthropic things are awesome. I love the program about taking people that were homeless and teaching them these marketable skills, because construction and skilled labor are always going to be in demand. So that's amazing.
Yeah, no, we're excited to do it. And I mean, what makes it possible is we're not starting from the ground up, right? We're partnering with organizations that already exist in the community and just trying to enhance the stuff that they already have. So that's helped us kind of cover more ground quicker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there any specific like events or anything that you have coming up that you want to share?
No specific events. I think just, you know, following us on social media and our website to kind of see what projects we have coming up. We have people contacting us all the time. I had a guy yesterday contact me from Alabama who's interested in shipping container houses in the Alabama area. And so we're talking to people all the time from different states, different cities who are wanting to do something similar. So I would say, you know, just, we don't have any specific events, but to keep up with the things that we're doing, whether it be within the Georgia area, or another state, I would say social media and our website is probably the best way to do that.
Okay. We'll get the exact details of that in a second, but I want to move on to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. Yes, everybody. So first question for you, what's your favorite real estate book?
Favorite real estate book. So it's kind of real estate, but it's called New York, and I had to write it down, School of Design Home, Foundations of Enduring Spaces by Ellen Fisher. So when we were starting, we decided we wanted to new build and new construction. I went to this book because a lot of people don't know, but there's like certain heights and certain widths of things, like for instance, bar height or distance from your door frame to the sink in a bathroom. And, you know, like all these specs that if you don't go to design school, right, this stuff that you would never know. And I didn't go to design school, I went to business school. So that book helped throughout the design process in knowing kind of where things were supposed to go. I mean, you walk in houses now, older houses that we started our careers on and renovating, and things just didn't make sense. And now there's rules for things. And so that book really helped kind of put in perspective and helped us in the design process, just make sure that the house that we were designing was functional, as sustainable as possible. It had everything from your average couch size to the average door frame size. So, I mean, just things like that. That was my favorite book by far, getting into new construction and design. So that's one I would recommend for anyone looking to do new construction.
Yeah, I love the like technical, like almost like a textbook. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a one-stop shop, that book.
Cool. All right. Second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self when you were just getting started with your real estate career?
Advice that I would give myself. That's a tough one. I would, because I feel like I'm still young and I'm still learning. I would say for starting out, it would be, so when we started out, we kind of started out cold turkey, right? We took on renovation projects without having a mentor, without knowing, you know, we started everything self-funded out of our own pockets. And I remember meeting someone that says, that's crazy. Why would you ever use your own money when there's so much money out there that you can use through various funding, right? And so I would say find a mentor who's done it and who's done it before, because it will save you a ton of money and time, because typically somebody else that's in the industry already, they've made contacts and they're so willing to help. And so I would say before anything, before we started anything, I would have told my younger self, find someone who's done it before and leverage them before trying to do it on your own.
Good advice. Right. Third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
I would say it's more the sustainability portion, because we're getting into sustainability where, you know, I feel like there's advancements in technology and solar and water conservation. And it really does a number. So for instance, the last house, we didn't do any solar, no water conservation. We were just trying to kind of get it up and learn about shipping containers themselves. And it's a fully electric house. Her bill, because of the insulation techniques that we use and the painting, the type of painting and roofing that we installed, her bill is it hasn't been more than $155, $160 a month for her entire house being electric for over 2,200 square foot house, which is amazing. But if we could put solar panels on the top roof of her house, she would essentially, Georgia Power would be paying her every month because it would be zero footprint in terms of electric. So the more effective and efficient we can become, the more we can learn about technology and the new sustainability methods that they're using now, the more cost effective we can make our homes for our buyers. So that's the one piece of it, real estate, that I really, really want to learn more about.
I think that whole sustainability like industry is like a blue ocean. Like there's so much more to know. There's so much opportunity.
I feel like every day something else is coming out.
Yes, and there's so many properties in this country that are old that need to be upgraded. So it's just so much opportunity in that field.
Yeah, just and even things of, you know, above ground electric. Mm-hmm. Like, why do we still have above ground electric? So it's just things like that. Like all of our homes we do underground. So I mean, we're just trying to make it as easy for our buyers as possible, and as more forward thinking as we can, progressive. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be able to put solar panels on all our houses moving forward.
Awesome. Good. So the last one is not really a question, but can you please give a shout out to another lady that's doing some great things in real estate?
I really had to think about this. So as a Danielle Rudolph is a realtor here in the Atlanta area doing great things. I feel like she's always she's a realtor. She's always helping her clients and customers. And she's fabulous in the Atlanta area if anyone's ever looking for a realtor. And then on a big scale, somebody I've never met before, but someone who inspires me, Allison Victoria, is a designer out of my hometown in Chicago. And she's always pushing the envelope. She's always pairing, from a design perspective, she's always pairing old things with character with new modern design techniques. And I just love her design aesthetic. And so she inspires me all the time and when I look at her work. So,
Shout out to Danielle and Allison. Appreciate everything you do. All right. So now let's get into how can people follow you? What's your website? How can they get in contact with you?
Yeah. So, concreteroots.com is our website. There's a contact us. We try to get back to everyone within 48 hours of the initial contact. So we're really on top of our website if anyone ever wanted to get in contact with us. In terms of social media, we're on Facebook and Instagram, Concrete Roots Group are our handles. So that's a great way to get in contact with us as well.
Ooh, right. Any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
No, just good luck with real estate and ventures. And I don't know, just keep pushing the envelope. Don't settle for the traditional. I think every industry right now is becoming more progressive. And real estate is in line with the rest of those industries. And so keep pushing the envelope, keep trying to make your building methods more sustainable, more forward thinking, and affordable. I think that's one thing that the country is lacking right now is affordable housing. And so we don't need more $900,000 to $1 million homes. What we need is $250,000 homes. So obviously making sure that you're making your margins and making money, but keep the buyer in mind as well. So that would be my only advice.
Definitely need more affordable housing. But it's like, it's hard though, because like you said before, like the cost of building materials has gone up so crazy, and it's like, you still got to make sure it makes sense for you as a developer.
So it is.
It's tough.
It is a tough balance, but I believe it's achievable. Hopefully material costs will level out at some point and hopefully get back down to norms. But we'll have to keep becoming more innovative in our approach. And I think we'll be all right.
Yep. Or just like you said, more innovative ways of building, like with shipping containers.
Exactly.
That's a great way to leave it out. Well, thank you so much, Courtney. This was a great conversation. I learned so much. I hope everyone out there took some gems from you. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, this was another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Thanks again to my guests today, Courtney Timmons from Concrete Roots, doing shipping container communities in the Atlanta market. So if you're thinking about building your own shipping container yourself, your own shipping container home, or just trying to figure out the process, definitely hit them up. Go to their website. They consult with other aspiring builders. So definitely reach out to them. But thank you again, Courtney, so much. And we'll see you guys on the next time.